Good evening. The scripture reading this evening will be taken from the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 12, verses 38 through 41. That's Matthew chapter 12, verses 38 through 41, and I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. Then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered him, saying, "Teacher, we wish to see a sign from you." But he answered them, "An evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, something greater than Jonah is here."
Good to be back with you tonight. Hope everyone had a good, restful afternoon. We know that life is filled with obstacles, especially as it relates to making it to heaven after a while, and yet we can be sure that God will give us the victory in the end. And one of the reasons we can be sure about that is because we have examples in the Bible of God giving his people victory. You have your Bibles. I'm not going to keep you for very long tonight, but I want you to turn over to Joshua, the sixth chapter. And we're all very familiar with the popular story of Jericho and the fall of the walls of Jericho. But as we look at this particular passage of Scripture, we find that this is really a very important time for Israel. You remember that God had promised them this land of Canaan, and yet in the beginning, when they first arrived at the border of the promised land, and instead of operating by faith and just entering into the land and capturing it, they decided that they would send spies into the land. And they did so. God instructed them, if that's what you're going to do, send 12 men into the land, one from every tribe. And they did that, and those spies came back, 10 of the 12, with an evil report. And you recall that the Israelites, these 10 spies, said, "No, we can't go into the land and take it. They're giants over there, the sons of Anak there. We can't take the land." And the children of Israel believed them. And so as a result of that, they would be punished. They would have to wander around in the wilderness for 40 years. And they did that. And that generation of adults would die in the wilderness, and they never would enter into the land of promise. But of course, the next generation would. And when we come to the book of Joshua, we find this is what we call the conquest period. And so we find that they're going to go into the land, and they're going to conquer the land. They're going to make it their own. And in Joshua chapter 6, we find this is the beginning of that period of time. They have now crossed the Jordan. Jericho is just west of the Jordan. It would be the first city that they would have to conquer. And Jericho was basically a gateway to the rest of the land. But there was a problem. And the problem, of course, was the great wall that surrounded Jericho. It was really a wall system. There were two walls, and the outer wall was 6 feet thick and 20 feet high, and then the inner wall was 12 feet thick and 30 feet high, and there was a distance of 15 feet in between them, making it basically impenetrable. And you can imagine if you were the Israelites at this time, many of those Israelites, maybe all of them, had been, and they had never really seen anything like that before. And as they observed that great, that massive wall, they probably thought, this is impossible. There's no way that we're going to be able to penetrate that and defeat Jericho. But of course, we know that in the end, they did. And there are many different reasons why they did, but tonight, just for a little bit, I want to talk to you about three things that were involved that allowed them to have the great victory that we're so familiar with. And these are three things, by the way, that can help us overcome the obstacles in our lives, things that sometimes we think it's just impossible for us to penetrate this. It's impossible for us to gain the victory. We can if we use these same principles or understand these same three points. So very quickly, just for a few minutes, let's talk about these three things. Number one, they had the Word of God. God communicated to them. You find in Joshua chapter 6 at verse 1, it says, "And now Jericho was shut up inside and outside because of the people of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, 'See, I have given Jericho into your hand and its king and its mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all the men of war, going around the city once. Thus you shall do for 6 days. Seven priests shall bear seven trumpets of ram horns before the ark. On the seventh day, you shall march around the city seven times, and the priest shall blow the trumpets. And when they make a long blast with the ram's horns, when you hear the sound of the trumpet, then all the people shall shout with a great voice, and the wall of the city will fall flat, and the people shall go up, everyone straight before him.' And Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priest and said to them, 'Take up the Ark of the Covenant and let seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the Ark of the Lord.' And he said to the people, 'Go forward, march around the city, and let the armed men pass on before the Ark of the Lord.'" And so they get this communication from God, telling them exactly what they have to do to gain this victory. And today we're blessed because when it comes down to overcoming Satan and sin, gaining the ultimate victory, we have communication from the Lord, don't we? God has given us His Word. And the fact of the matter is that is a wonderful benefit to us. God basically has given us everything we need. As Peter once said, everything that pertains to life and godliness, God has given it to us. And Peter emphasized that it comes through the knowledge of the Lord. That points back to the Word of God. We should be thankful that we have the Bible. We can overcome Satan and sin, and we can overcome any obstacle that the devil throws our way because God has given us His Word. It is a huge advantage in life. I remember Paul, over in the book of Romans, he talked just a little bit about this when he was being questioned by the Jews. In Romans chapter 3 and at verse 1, Paul, as I've often pointed out, was great at anticipating questions, and that's what he's doing in this particular place as well. Romans 3 and at verse 1, Paul says, "And then what advantage has the Jew, or what is the value of circumcision? Much every way," he says, "to begin with, the Jews were entrusted with the oracles of God." There is no doubt, ladies and gentlemen, that that gave the Jews an advantage over all of the nations of the earth. They had the oracles. They had the Word of God. Paul calls it an advantage. And we have it too. Of course, you remember in another place, Paul said, "Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed." We certainly have to familiarize ourselves with the Word of God. Remember, faith comes by hearing the Word of God, Romans 10 at verse 17. So I know in these busy lives in which we live, we're going to have to find this time to sit down and to study the Word of God and to make sure that this Word is always in our hearts, on our minds, and we live by it. But it is a wonderful, wonderful advantage. We would have no clue how to overcome Satan and sin. We would have no idea whatsoever how we can make it to heaven if it wasn't for the Word of God. And you think about that, even going back with the story of the Israelites in Jericho, how in the world would they know how they could actually gain victory in Canaan? They couldn't even get by the first city if it wasn't for the instruction that God had given them. So they had the Word of God. But that wasn't enough. As powerful as the Word of God is not enough. And even today, if we're going to make it to heaven, it is wonderful that we have this book we call the Bible. And as we've often said, so many people have sacrificed their lives in times past so that we could actually have it in written form in our own language. And we have ready access to it. That's wonderful, but it's not enough. Just having the Word of God is not enough. The Israelites did something else. Another key to their victory was the fact that they believed the Word. And that's critical, isn't it? We just read the instructions that God had given them. They believed God. Like the Jews are going to demonstrate, just like the previous generation did, this generation is going to prove to be a stubborn people who rebel against God and who basically demonstrate, more times than not, a lack of faith. But that's not the case here. In the beginning, they do demonstrate faith. They believed that if they did what God told them to do, they would gain the victory. And listen to me, the instructions that God gave them, it had to seem impossible to them. Like, what in the world, militarily, what in the world does marching around this massive city, the massive wall, and then ultimately blowing some trumpets and then shouting, how is that going to bring these walls down? From a structural standpoint, it made no sense. Do you know, the fact of the matter is, God gives us instruction all the time that may not make a whole lot of sense to us. Our only job is to do what God tells us to do. That begins with believing and trusting in God. Like, they trusted that if they just did this thing, it would work. But how many other times can you think of where this kind of situation happened? What about when God told Noah to build an ark because it was going to rain for 40 days and 40 nights? That really could not have made a whole lot of sense. There's many scholars, as I've often said, who believe sincerely that Noah had never even seen rain before. I haven't been overly impressed with the evidence for that. Really, I don't know that we could tell one way or another. But the idea that the entire world was going to be wiped out, was going to be destroyed by a massive flood, that couldn't have made a whole lot of sense. But Noah believed God. And I think of other situations, like the time when Gideon, we're all familiar with that, that God was instructing Gideon to go up against the massive Midianite army of 135,000 warriors. And they were to do it with just 300 men who were basically unarmed. That could not have made any sense at all. But they believed God. Gideon at least did, and the people believed him. And I think of other situations. We are studying in Sunday morning the book of Luke. You might remember back in Luke chapter 5. In fact, let's just flip back over there just for a second. In Luke, the fifth chapter, you remember these instructions that Jesus gave Peter that certainly could not have made a whole lot of sense. Luke chapter 5 and at verse 1. Luke, the 5th chapter, and at verse 1, the Bible says, and on one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and he taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. That didn't make any sense, I guarantee you, to Peter. Because you remember reading this whole context there, and Peter was one of the ones that was out of the boat washing his nets. They had already fished all night long, and they hadn't caught anything. Here is Jesus telling Peter, cast out the net. And I'm sure Peter's body said, no, I'm tired. I just want to go home. I've already fished all night long. His mind had to have said, that, Lord, that just doesn't make any sense. His experience must have said, we fished all night long, so we know there's no fish in this part of the lake. But his heart trusted God. So his mouth said, at your word, we'll cast out the net. That's the kind of faith that gives us victory. We don't only obey God when he gives us instruction that completely lines up with our senses. What about the time when God commanded Abraham to offer up Isaac? You know that didn't make any sense. In fact, from an outward standpoint, those were instructions. That was a commandment that seemed to contradict the promise that God had made to Abraham. God promised that the promised seed was going to come, and that seed would come through none other than Isaac. So how in the world is this going to work out? Abraham had to have thought, if I offer up my son, the son that he loved, by the way, he didn't want to do it just because of the emotion involved in all of that. No father wants to offer up his son as a sacrifice. It was truly a great test for Abraham. But just from a logical standpoint, he had to think, if I do this thing and I kill Isaac, then God is not going to keep his word. Because the promise was the seed would come through this boy, through Isaac. It just didn't really make any sense. Now, you've heard many sermons on that. He had to go to the place where God told him to go. It was a 3-day journey, and by the time he got there, he had worked it all out in his mind. He came to the conclusion, according to the Hebrews writer, that God would raise him from the dead. But he did ultimately what God told him to do. It was a matter of faith. God was testing his faith, and of course he passed the test. Do you know why the walls of Jericho fell? It's because on this occasion the Israelites believed the word of God. In fact, when you flip over to Hebrews chapter 11, and this is of course the great chapter on faith, and we have all kind of illustrations and examples of men and women who operated by faith. But in Hebrews 11 and at verse 30, we have this one simple statement, a short verse. Hebrews 11 at verse 30, it simply says, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith those walls fell. Israel believed God. One thing to hear the word of God, but then they get this message that from a structural standpoint made no sense, but they believed it. And it is important that when God instructs us that we just accept what he says, it doesn't matter if we understand it or not. I've often said one of the reasons why people will reject something like baptism is because it doesn't make any sense to them. Like now, there's a stronger theological reason they most really believe that we're saved by faith. But many people just don't see, can't understand how in the world would being baptized, being dipped in water, have our sins washed away. Doesn't make any sense. And so many won't do it. It doesn't line up. And we have many Bible examples like Naaman and other situations where people wouldn't do what God said because it didn't make sense to them. Don't ever let that be an obstacle to you. That will stop you from gaining the victory. You have to believe God. Faith in 1 John chapter 5, John emphasizes to us, it is faith that gives us the victory. Ultimately, we're only going to heaven after a while if we have faith. And by the way, this is true not only with overcoming Satan and sin and making it to heaven, but when great walls come up before us, when we face real obstacles in life, the way we're going to overcome them is with this same kind of faith, simply trusting God's word. But then there's a third thing, and I think you can see it. The third thing, of course, is the obedience. It wasn't enough for the Israelites in Joshua chapter 6 just to hear the plan. It wasn't enough that they believed the plan. Ultimately, they had to execute the plan. They had to do what God told them to do. And that's exactly what they did. Even though maybe it didn't make a lot of sense, they actually did it. Back over in Joshua chapter 6, we read about them carrying out the plan. At verse 8, it says, and just as Joshua had commanded the people, the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns before the Lord went forward, blowing the trumpets with the ark of the covenant of the Lord following them. The armed men who were walking before the priest were blowing the trumpets, and the rear guard was walking after the ark while the trumpets blew continually. And you could just read. We'll not take the time now. You can read down through verse 20. You see down at verse 17 it says, and the city and all that was within it shall be devoted to the Lord for destruction. Only Rahab the prostitute and all that are with her in your house shall live, because she hid the messengers whom we sent. But you keep yourselves from the things devoted to destruction. We remember that became a little bump in the road. Down at verse 20 it says, so the people shouted and the trumpets were blown. As soon as the people heard the sound of the trumpet, the people shouted a great shout, and the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they captured the city. Why? Because they not only heard the word of God and believed it, they did exactly what God told them to do. That is critical when it comes down to spiritual victory. We have to do not almost what God tells us to do, not some of what God tells us to do, but we must do exactly what God tells us to do. That's the kind of obedient faith that is necessary to gain the victory. In this great Bible story, we see what seemed to be impossible happening. They gained the victory, and not only did they gain the victory, they didn't even have to fight. God gave them the city. He kept his word. Remember at verse 2, he said, see, I have given Jericho into your hand. It was a done deal. All they had to do is believe and act, and the victory would be theirs. And that's a great lesson that we learn from this old Bible story for us today. You want to go to heaven after a while? God has given you his word. You just have to believe it and act upon it. As Christians, we have to continue to act and continue to be faithful. Revelation 2 and at verse 10, be faithful unto death. I will give you the crown of life. Victory is guaranteed up front. Isn't that wonderful? That's the way it was with the Israelites back then too. God told, I have given you the city. It is already a done deal. But we still have to do our part. And tonight, if you're a Christian, you have to continue to do your part. You have to continue to trust and obey. If you're not a Christian, You can have victory, but you have to do your part. You've heard the word of God. You have to trust it. You have to believe it. You have to obey it, beginning with repenting of your sins and being baptized. Your sins will be, Peter said, forgiven. Not could be or should be. Your sins will be forgiven. You receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That is, you will have salvation. God will give it to you. Victory is yours, but you have to act. What a wonderful Bible story Joshua chapter 6 and the fall of the walls of Jericho is. We have the keys of victory. We just have to do our part. Will you do your part? Will you obey the gospel of Christ? Will you be restored? If that's what you need to do, repent and pray God. If you've been unfaithful, you need to come back before it's too late. Tonight is a perfect time for you to do that. If you need the prayers of the church, come forward. We'll encourage you and pray for you. But do what's right so you can have the victory God has promised. You have to do your part. Come forward as we together stand and say.